You're listening to Mondo Cool, the only Dragon Ball movie podcast that gives you a Zenkai boost.
That's right, boys. Mondo Cool.
What's up, Dragon Ballers? It's time for what could possibly be the most important episode of Mondo Cool. Our Dragon Ball movie review podcast comes out every month. I'm your host, KZExcellent of KZExcellent.com. With me are Dan and Bob Video Games from Gigaboots.com.
To be one, I must be two.
What does that mean?
And with the answer to what that means, Mr. Feel.
I don't have an answer, but the villain of this movie looks like Jamie Kennedy wearing the mask.
Won't somebody stop him? That's funny because the main character looks like Jim Carrey's child.
He looks not only that, he looks vaguely like, first of all, yes, he looks like Kid Ace Ventura. I have no idea what they were thinking with that haircut.
Yes.
But he also looks like Jesse from Breaking Bad, but younger.
Jesse from Breaking Bad pulls a Siler and takes Jim Carrey's acting and look.
Jim Carrey tries a little bit harder in his movies than Goku tries in this.
I don't know what you're talking about. This Goku made a lot of faces.
All right. So if you've never seen this show before, every single month, thanks to the power of our patrons, we watch every single Dragon Ball OVA film, whatever, going in release order. And we finally made it to one of the big ones. If you want, you can gain access to this show and many other things early or at all. And Feel will tell you how.
You can do that by going to our Patreon at patreon.com/GBPodcast. For as little as $5 a month, you get many benefits, such as access to this show early and our other anime podcast, Chugging Bleach, where we watch all of Bleach. Yes, even that, and that. extended armchair dev pitches, where we make up a video game and you get to hear the ideas that were left on the table due to the inherently cruel nature of that show. Extended gamer premonitions, where we predict the future and you get to know even more of the future if you subscribe to our Patreon, as well as a Patreon exclusive shows where you actually get to have input on what horrible thing or great thing we have to talk about. That's patreon.com/GBPodcast, and you can also help us by telling your friends. And if you don't have friends, you can make some and then tell them about us. And if even that doesn't work out, you can go to the Apple store and subscribe to us on every device.
Thank you very much.
Now, we've been going through a lot of non-core Z movies in the past here. We went through all the core, like, Dragon Ball Z movies you know of. We beat Wrath of the Dragon, then we moved on to some original Dragon Ball stuff, some GT stuff, and OVAs. But finally, we've reached the one that you probably were waiting for since the first episode. This time, we watched Dragon Ball Evolution, or as it's called in Japanese,
Spy Kids 3.5.
Yup.
Oh. Okay. Now, before we get into the thing where Dan tells us about the film, we have a new one-time segment. I imagine it'll be one time. Who knows? We may need to use this again someday.
Let me explain.
Mm-hmm.
Ladies and gentlemen, normally when we do our anime podcasts, I have a phone. I pointed at my OLED, and I pulled the focus on my phone. Now, the other day, I was like, I need to streamline this. We should point the DSLR at the TV and then take a picture like that. And then I realized, wait, I have a China capture card. It just breaks HDCP. I set taking a screen cap to a macro singular key on my keyboard. I took many, many screen caps of this movie because just there
any,
are...
Anytime you thought it was funny.
There are many fantastic faces on the screen.
Yes, I'm sure.
This segment for this episode of Mondo Cool, Mr. Feel, Bob, and KZ have to guess. How many pictures did I take of this movie? We will start with KZ, so that way...
Yeah, I was like, we cannot start with Feel.
Yeah, no.
No, that would be fucked up.
Okay. Based on the fact that we heard a jingle every single time you hit it, 387.
Okay. Bob.
I'm going to go with a clean 600.
Okay. Now, Feel, they know this because they were watching it, and I'm going to let you know this. Sometimes, when there was a fantastical over-the-top sequence, like Goku running up a wall and it looking goofy, or the bad girl going completely horizontal and just flying out of the temple.
Uh-huh.
I would mash the screen cap key repeatedly.
So we would hear ding, 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 ding.
So, Phil, KZ guessed, what was it? 387. 87. Bob guessed 600.
Yes.
How much would you like to guess?
546.
The answer is 828 pictures.
God. I was like, I think I might be lowballing it.
Wow, Dan's like, I created an algorithm that splits the movie into every distinct frame.
He started doing that, and we saw fight things happen.
Here, we're starting with my favorite of the opening.
There it is.
This actor made a lot of very powerful faces basically nonstop the whole film. There would have been way fewer pictures if not for Justin Chatwin, so I gotta give it to him. He's doing his best.
His faces are so bad.
I know, it's gonna really suck when we just have 15 emotes devoted to him.
These are now Twitter reaction fodder. I feel like his face is a constant delight in this film. But I guess we need to recap this film. If only I had some sort of slideshow to look at.
Well, before we recap this film, before we recap this film, I have an important question to ask the three of you.
Sure.
Do you know how long a movie must be for the Screen Actors Guild to consider it a feature-length film?
46 minutes?
No.
Bob?
100 minutes?
Less than that, KZ.
78?
75. Ah. Dragon Ball Evolution, from beginning to the start of the credits, is 75 minutes and 1 second. Holy shit!
They did it.
I love them. That might have given it another point.
That's insane.
Take that into consideration when Dan starts talking about the intro narration that was obviously done after they filmed.
I don't know what you're talking about. We're just flying through space talking about Ozaru and Piccolo, who's from outer space.
Piccolo.
And Piccolo and how he's going to hurt us. And he did it 2,000 millennia ago.
He's gonna this isn't somebody again. Saying that it within the movie it's Trailer Man because he ends Piccolo was sealed. Until now.
Yeah, and then it pops up with the logo. And then we fade in on the weirdest shot in the movie. I genuinely believe this is the most egregious use of CGI. They have CG sweat on Justin Chatwin.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, I don't know why.
It's so many things in this movie look bafflingly bad.
Dude, a Blu-ray running on what? How big is your TV again?
It's 65-inch OLED.
A 65-inch OLED, and it was juicy.
Yeah, we got many frames. We got all sorts of detail that, you know, one might easily argue we didn't need. I don't think any human needed to see, you know, reaction shots in this fidelity. But anyways, so we open up after the narration that Phil mentioned. And Goku, played by Justin Chatwin, is training with his grandfather, Gohan.
Yes, Gohan.
Gohan is training him by them doing this sparring little thing on two strings that they have to stand on. And they're attacking each other. It's very cool. And then they hang upside down and it looks absolutely fucking absurd. And then Goku does a flying kick and it's the peak of comedy. And and then he gets knocked off. And
don't forget two important points. One, when it opens with him standing there, he's standing like CIA in The Dark Knight Rises. He's just making the exact same pose.
You're a big guy.
Two, he kicks a bug into his grandpa's mouth to distract him.
That's true. He does do that.
And his grandpa just swallows it.
He just swallows it and keeps going because he doesn't give a fuck. It's really quite something. But yeah, so they're training and stuff. The training ends. Goku gets owned. And then his grandfather's like, yeah, you got owned. And then he's like, Grandpa, will you let me beat up bullies at school? And he goes, no. And he goes, all right. That's the scene. And then he goes, oh, hey, by the way, 4-star Dragon Ball, here you go. And he goes, oh, thank you. Thank you. I'm going to go to school now. And this is going to make everyone who likes Dragon Ball's brains fucking melt.
I'm going to go to the super school where they stole props from X-Men The Last Stand because it has the same production studio. Which is why they have like the giant Wacom tablet desks.
Yes. I really appreciate Goku's orange and blue hoodie. Very stylish.
What is this, the fucking Sonic movie?
Yeah, I don't know. But there's a really good moment where Chi-Chi, who's hanging out with her boyfriend and some other kids at the school, looks back at Goku like she was like, oh, I really don't like this guy I hang out with and am with. I wish I was with you, nerdy guy, who everyone's going to call Geeko.
Checklist box one.
Uh-huh.
Well, we're making something in Hollywood and it's high school. This is how it is.
It's like Goku, but they called him Geeko, and the writer thought this would come across.
What a good Flash Thompson.
By the writer's own admission, he didn't give a shit. He was poor and needed to eat.
Good for him.
And he was like, I'm sorry. I wrote this as fast and not giving a shit as I could.
Good on him. They didn't have faith. You see the budget on screen. They didn't give a shit about this.
Yeah, a whopping $30 million.
It doesn't even look that good. How much of that is Chow Yun Fat?
Right? Also, keep in mind, they only made this for a tax write-off. They filmed this in Durango, Mexico, which there was literal news articles when this came out. Durango, Mexico, giving Dragon Ball Evolution enormous fucking subsidies to film there.
I bet. That explains a lot. But yeah, so we end that scene at the high school with them calling him Geeko, being mean to him, Goku coping, wearing his hoodie. He flips the hoodie up, and then we cut to Piccolo on his fucking skyship, which looks unbelievably bad.
Yeah, it kind of looks like the Boba Fett ship. But at first, I was like, is this Pokemon the movie 2000?
When I saw it, I like started transporting back into LXG.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he starts using a fireball thing. He shoots it down at the planet. And then it zooms in. And oh, man, this village has been wrecked. There's a lady there and a younger child. And they're hiding from a secret agent lady.
We don't say her name.
We assumed it was Mai, but you know, don't worry. No human who could ever watch this movie feel wouldn't think of the mask,
right? Oh my god, that picture though.
So go ahead.
So I got really confused by this scene for a moment because the framing of him like dropping the fireball made me think we went back in time.
Yeah, it almost felt like a flashback sequence. It's super weird.
Yeah, it looked like a Harry Potter, you're going into the bowl.
And then in the destroyed village looks like it's ancient times.
Yes.
Yeah, it looks like it's... My immediate assumption was we were getting a flashback to Chi-Chi's backstory because we had just been introduced to her.
Yeah.
Because they show the little girl hiding, and I was like, are they going to have, like, Chi-Chi fight the secret agent because the secret agent killed her mom in the past? Is that the direction this is going?
Yeah, I just assumed he used magic to blow up the village, but they didn't want to show that because it was expensive. So they didn't. this woman and the small child hide in a building which has no roof, and you can see over just by standing. And then they hide under the floorboards as the agent is in there. And then the agent hears the child and she's like, oh, I'm going to shoot this child. And the lady goes, oh, no, I have what you want. Here's the Dragon Ball. And Piccolo shows up and he makes an incredible face because him and Goku are just doing that nonstop throughout the film. There's no frame of their face you don't want to see. And then we cut away from them getting that Dragon Ball to an image of the solar eclipse. And they're like, hey. Solar eclipse, yo. We're in a classroom now. We're all going to talk about the solar eclipse. Goku's going to go look over at Chi-Chi and imagine her eating strawberries in the middle of a field like a fucking weirdo.
It was so fucking bizarre. First of all, it was reminding me of Twilight.
Yes, of course, because his hair's gelled up like an idiot. The color grade was exactly like Twilight, and he is very Edward Cullen Core.
Yeah, all of this is way too Twilight-y.
Yes.
It's so bizarre.
And then he makes the most fucking ridiculous faces at her as she's just like eating the strawberry in his mind's field, in his mind palace.
Like, we've shot past like nerdy kid into the girl to stalker.
Yes.
Oh yeah, instantly. We instantly jump past that. I really appreciate the teacher being like, hey, we're talking about the solar eclipse. Do you know about the solar eclipse? And then Goku's like, my grandfather said aliens came to the Earth 2,000 years ago and nearly killed us all. And he's like, okay, well, let's hope that doesn't happen again. I'm going to walk away from this kid and hope that he doesn't snap one day.
And then I say, why are you learning about a solar eclipse as a senior in high school? That the school seems like it probably doesn't have good exam scores.
Yeah, I was going to say, we don't know what type of classes Goku takes, okay? So
maybe he's in remedial.
That's exactly what I'm thinking. But yeah, the cool thing is right after this, Chi-Chi's having trouble with her locker. They have security cards for the lockers. It's terrible. And Goku's like, hey, what's up? I'm going to help with this from this corner over here while I stalk you. And I'm going to use my key to open all these lockers. And she runs after him. She goes, did you do that? And he goes, yeah. And then she goes, oh, was that your key? And he's like, you know what key is? She's like, yeah, you want to come to my party? He's like, yeah, I do. And she's like, nice. And he's like, oh, okay. And then he stumbles off. And that's this
yeah,
movie.
Yeah, I like the part. There's also the part where she's like, just because my name is Chi-Chi doesn't mean I'm stupid. And I'm like, oh, what a bizarrely defensive and nonsensical thing to say.
Right?
And then we get a cool sequence of Goku looking in the mirror, and he's applying hair gel. And it looks really great. He doesn't look like the main character of Night Stalker at all. Like he's just gonna go film people who are dead for money on local television.
And you literally said, "Don't worry, KZ, I'm gonna start doing this soon."
Okay. And my notes were literally Goku watched Drive and got really into it.
Okay, I just looked it up. This guy was 27 when they filmed this.
Yep.
Chatwin said that he signed on for 3 films,
oh.
Though he expressed interest in making 7 of them, saying that Goku only really gets interesting in the second film, and that they were just going to do all of Z.
I did like the joke of him being unable to cement down his hair, and it exploding back up and throwing the gel everywhere, yeah, which is something Toriyama stole in Super.
Oh, I didn't know Toriyama did that in Super.
That's hilarious.
So he arrives at Chi-Chi's party. By the way, his grandpa Gohan made him a birthday cake because it's Goku's 18th birthday, you guys. But Goku, he'd rather hang out with Chi-Chi, so he leaves without saying a word, and Gohan's really upset. So he arrives at what looks like a theme park. This doesn't look like a real building that people would live in or own.
It reminds me of where parties happen in like remember the Jackie Chan movie where he has like the magic tuxedo, like the super spy tuxedo?
You mean the one that's called Tuxedo or whatever?
That's actually one of the few Jackie Chan movies I have not seen.
Yeah, and this keeps coming up.
I've just seen a lot of movies where this is like the fancy party.
I wasn't ready for it to literally be called the Tuxedo.
Yes. Yeah, no, it's literally called that.
Jennifer Love Hewitt.
Yep.
There's yeah, maybe that was one of Jackie Chan's like, I have to make a mainstream American movie.
Yeah. Yeah, that's definitely what that was for him.
Yeah, we should watch this during Jackie January.
It also looks like a lot like the mansion from Blank Check. So I was like, that's just some rich dipshit owns that house.
Yeah, they just didn't go into it in this, but of course her dad's the Ox King. He's got money.
Yeah, they would have gone into that in the next one, I'm sure.
Yeah.
So Goku arrives, Chi-Chi's boyfriend or whatever's goons meet him out front and they're like, hey, what's up? We're gonna beat you. And he goes, I'm not gonna fight you. And then when they try to attack Goku, he keeps dodging and making them own each other. Lots of comedic moments with that, where he tricks a guy into punching another guy. He tricks a guy into doing a flying kick into another guy's face.
Goons are doing surprising amounts of flying kicks.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, they took like martial arts dance a couple times and I laughed.
I think that's fine because this is Dragon Ball World. Right. So it's like, of course, all the random goons also have beginner martial arts skills.
He tricked a guy into punching a window on a car and then going, oh my god, my hand.
Yeah, that was a highlight.
No and, blood.
And then Chi-Chi's boyfriend or whatever comes out and is just like, what the? And then he goes, hey, your friend showed me what they got. Nothing. And I was like, this is the one good joke.
I know. I'm like, okay, Leon Kennedy.
Yeah, it was max level stupid. I really enjoyed how dumb that was. But then that guy fucking snaps and he pulls out a golf club or something, starts swinging at Goku, accidentally bashes in the windows on his own car, tries to swing at Goku again. Goku flips upside down over the car and slides with his head across it. And this shot stuck with me for 13 years.
Yeah, that's one of the better bits of it. I'd be a lot more positive on this movie if every action scene was like this.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, once again, he smiles like he's Night Stalker from the movie Night Stalker, as in you should not trust this man with anything. That's not a trustworthy face right there.
Jesus.
And yeah, he impressed Chi-Chi by tricking that guy into owning himself and destroying his car and doing cool flippy doos everywhere and dodging all these attacks. And so he comes into the party, him and Chi-Chi are hanging out, and she's like, so we're both 18? And he goes, yeah, definitely. Because they definitely look 18 and not in their 20s. And anyways, he's there and she's like, so do you do this often? And he's like, yeah, in my head. She's just like, all right, this guy is weird. What's up with that?
Yeah, for some reason, I feel like Goku is absolutely the worst portrayal of a Dragon Ball character in this movie. Like, I think the rest of them are closer, which doesn't say anything, but good Lord.
It's really funny. In the middle of the party, though, Piccolo and Mai attack Gohan, and their outfits are unreal. And oh man, this movie looks really bad. they beat the shit out of Grandpa Gohan. Uncle Gohan. And then Piccolo does this really really cool thing where he closes his hand and crushes the house.
Yeah, kicks his ass is not what happens. Piccolo uses, I guess, the ancient Dragon Ball technique of key heart attack.
Yeah, he uses key heart attack and then walks outside and uses key heart home destruction.
I liked that part. It was decent.
And then we cut from that to a really emotional moment as Goku senses this, which I don't think this was the face he meant to make when that happened, but it's the face we got.
God. When you're not sure what to order at the drive-thru.
That's
tonight.
That's when you show up at the Taco Bell and they're like, we're out of tortillas. And you go, what?
Come again? We also don't have beans either.
Yeah, we're out of beans and chicken. And then he goes, something's wrong with my grandpa, I have to go. And Chi-Chi's like, what? That's the end of that scene. Then we get possibly the peak in the film of him looking like he's Edward Cullen. He runs through a blue forest at night.
There's 18 cuts.
There's a lot going on. It cuts like six times really fast of him getting into the house. And I'm like, this is great. And Bob's like, this is terrible. He finds Grandpa Gohan lying down, dying. Oh. He looks pretty weak. He looks like he's dying. He passes in next to their like stone garden, which has seven stones arranged like the Dragon Balls and a raked circle around it. It's really good. That's a terrible. We cut to morning. Goku has buried Gohan under the
stones.
Yeah,
like dude, you live in a city. You have to like tell someone your grandpa's dead.
No.
Well,
you
don't
live like out in the woods anymore.
Don't worry, they just figure out somehow.
It's true.
Because someone comes in later and they're I believe it's Chi-Chi and she goes, "I heard about your grandpa dying." And I went, "How? How did you hear? He didn't do any like who's going out there to hang out with Goku? No one." Anyway, he's going through the house in the morning now that he can see and stuff, and he finds a really cool gi sitting in a fancy box, and then he senses something. He's like, wait a second. what's up, and he starts fist stalking around his own house. I think this sets up expectations for the entire rest of the film. This shot right here, this really is just the movie in a single still frame.
God, his face!
No, he's gonna give her a kiss.
He's like, ooh, somebody stop me.
Oh, no.
But yeah, Bulma shows up with the gun, and she's like, my father works for Capsule Corporation, and a super fugitive agent snuck in last night and stole our Dragon Ball, and it was you, so give me back my Dragon Ball. And he's like, my ball has 4 stars. You just said yours has 5, idiot. And she's like, oh my God, so you didn't do it.
I want to use them for a perpetual energy device?
Yes.
Which seems like it must be a much more complicated explanation than just, I want to wish.
Yeah, so the best part about the Capsule Core flashback is does a cool flippy do. There's some security lasers, and then she just jetpacks out of there, smashing through the glass ceiling. It's really good. It reminded me a bit of that Batman Beyond clip.
Gamers!
Gamers!
Yeah, gamers. And then we cut to the modern timeline again, and Bulma explains, well, I found your Dragon Ball because I have this Dragon Ball Energy, what is it, DBE something? I don't know.
I think she fashions that as a name when he says they're Dragon Balls, because she calls them, like, primordial orbs or some shit.
Yeah, she does, and then he's like, Dragon Balls, and she's like, oh, Dragon Ball Energy, DBE, that's a good name. And I'm like, no, Dragon Ball Evolution isn't a good name. I know what you're doing right now. Shut the fuck up.
This is pretty good. Check out this leapfrog device.
Like, it looks worse than you'd see in a Power Rangers show. It really does.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
This whole movie is very much, we have Power Rangers at home, especially one action sequence later, which we'll get to.
This is the energy of the audience watching this scene, by the way. We get yet another good face.
That was my face for most of this movie.
I haven't smiled watching something this much in a long time.
And then the movie ends and Feel made this face. There we go.
No, I was making that by halfway through.
So 35 minutes into the movie.
Yes.
Bulma agrees to help Goku find the Dragon Balls, even though she's like, why do I need your help? And he goes, because that Piccolo guy's looking for it. Are you stupid? He'll kill you. And then she goes, oh, okay, yeah, that makes sense. Then we get what I think is the peak of the film, and Bob really, really ardently disagrees.
Okay.
We get Future City shots.
Yeah.
Future City shots are really good because they have all of this, like, teal and pink lighting in the background, and Goku's just eating a turkey leg.
Yep.
It does have this weird energy of, like, it's like almost Demolition Man-esque.
Yeah, I was gonna say that the weird monitor she's using has a Demolition Man feel to it.
Yes.
It feels so much cheaper than Demolition Man.
Of course it does. It was made for $30 million. I really think it's funny, and I wish they could have done more shit like that. The monitor she uses to look up Master Roshi, because, by the way, the Grandpa Gohan told him to go find Master Roshi. She's like, I can't find a Roshi in the thing. And he's like, why don't you look up Master? And she gives him a look and he goes, M-A-S-T. And I'm like, remedial.
Decent.
Absolutely. Then we get this really good shot of them on a motorcycle. I immediately went, I wish they made a Final Fantasy VII remake style game based on this movie.
God,
we need to deviate even more from the source material. That's the ideal direction to go in. But they're following the Dragon Ball radar at this point, or at least Goku sensing things, because he can sense his grandfather. And he's sensing things.
I have the ability in my head to see see the script.
Yes. So he ends via the script and the powers thereof. He ends up at this house that is a perfectly normal house in the middle of Future City. It literally is on an island. It makes no sense. But
yeah, it looks like a place I would loot in a Fallout game.
It's very dilapidated. And Goku and Bulma go into the house. They're being very careful. And Goku accidentally knocks over some stones and has to grab them super fast in slow motion in order to prevent them from making a sound. But he accidentally knocks one into a pot. And that's when Chow Yun Fat wakes up, and I'm like, okay, time to find out if he's going to end up like pirates, Chow Yun Fat.
Dan, I don't understand the problem. This is obviously a perfect recreation of the Kami House.
Yeah.
Unmistakable.
Totally. That was a multi-floor dilapidated hole filled shit hole, right?
Yeah.
It was also a red house, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That you would find in Detroit.
Do you think that they wrote Master Roshi for someone other than Chow Yun Fat?
I don't know who they could have written it for.
I feel like I got an immediate, like, in a perfect world where this is a real movie, we got Jackie Chan.
Jackie Chan was a huge fan of Dragon Ball and tried to push for a movie to be made of it back in 1995.
Yeah, I read that too.
Yeah.
It's like, it would have to have a huge budget cut to it having a quarter of the budget it should have had.
Yeah.
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 An alternate universe one, fucking Donnie Yang's mercenary towel.
Fuck off. One of the production companies that worked on this also did The Golden Compass.
It does have a lot of bad CGI. Anyway, so Goku and Master Roshi have a fight. It's very cool. It concludes in Goku jumping into midair and shooting an energy wave out and knocking Bulma through a fucking
piece of wood. Oh, that was so fucking good. Moment of the movie. Also has a really funny scene of Goku using CG super speed to try and punch him.
Yes, I hit the...
not working.
I hit the screen cap button about 8 times during that. It was very funny.
He did it so much that when he went through them really fast, I'm like, I see every motion.
It's great. I made a flip book out of that scene. It was pretty good.
He made a really good animatic out of it.
But then we cut to... they resolved that, right? They talk through, and Goku's like, yeah, I'm my father's Gohan. That's why I know that technique. He goes, oh, cool, Gohan. I missed him. I trained him. And then he goes, oh, yeah, he's dead. And then I got more reaction images for Twitter, and that was really helpful. Thank you, Dragon Ball Evolution.
Like, I'm Master Roshi. I'm 50. You're dead. Your grandpa was 95 years old.
So he goes from ecstatic that he's Goku and Gohan's grandson to oh he's dead. Oh, that's terrible. And I'm like, yeah, this is gonna get a lot of use on fucking Twitter. I don't know, man. But anyway. They talk, it doesn't matter. There's a Dragon Ball here, they need to find out where. Goku senses it, he grabs the Dragon Ball and he sees a vision.
God.
He sees a vision. I'm posting an image of that vision now, and we're moving on.
Oh, okay.
There we go. So he sees a vision of the Dragon Ball. It's very good looking, actually.
Yeah, KZ was talking about how this is like Harry Potter, and it was really upsetting.
there's a part in Harry Potter 5 where they just green screen Voldemort in a void going, rah! And I'm like, what the fuck is this? And it's the exact same shot.
So we get some more faces that I screen cap because they're pretty good. We cut to the airship again, and it's flying over water. And then you see that Piccolo is going to use a cool super energy technique to evaporate all the water. It cuts to him on the ground. He picks up the Dragon Ball, and then they have him turn to her and say, it's easier without all the water. And I'm like, yeah, we got it, movie. Fuck.
I don't know. It was just as poorly cut together as the first time where he blew up the village, so there was a chance we wouldn't get it.
I feel like that time was a lot more cogent because they showed the water evaporating, Bob.
You recounting Piccolo's lines make me go, oh shit, his writing is just Chad from Bleach.
I wish it was that good. It's that dumb, but it's not as funny or as good. So... they decide to team up. Roshi's like, hey, you need to train, so you're going to carry all of our stuff and run alongside this motorcycle thing that Bulma's got. It's going to be
for like 20 seconds, yeah.
Yeah, we get some shots in the desert, some sort of montage. And then they arrive at a martial arts tournament happening in the middle of some rocks, and Chi-Chi's in it. It looks terrible. Moving on, Goku's doing a handstand in the back of a truck because that's how he's training, and we get the worst fucking shot in the goddamn movie.
It's so good!
The motorcycle shots. For some reason, they just could not portray this lady sitting on a motorcycle. It just doesn't translate at all to the movie screen.
Yeah, this might be like the worst green screening of people on like a moving object I've ever seen in a movie.
All I could think of was a music video I saw made by the Lasagna Cat people in like 2008 or something, and it was like, yeah, they had no money. This is like 30 mil.
I was like, man, I can't believe the Fifth Channel Awesome Movie is so good.
Yeah.
Well, I can't believe they did this live for SNL.
Oh! They get the projector screen and they're just bobbing up and down pretending.
Yes.
That might have looked better. So yeah, then they're driving and they accidentally drive into a hole and it totally wrecked their vehicle. And Yamcha did this. Oh, he's like, I'll sell you this ladder to get out. And they're like, no, we're not gonna pay you to get out. And he's like, okay, look out when the sun comes back up. That's gonna be real nasty. And then we cut to the moon and it's very moony, this moon. And then we cut back to the hole and they have a campfire and they keep having images appear in the campfire as Roshi tells them about stuff, and it's also really bad.
It's all the same stuff we heard in the intro, so it's not new news for us. It's new for the characters.
And it doesn't really change much of anything?
No.
For some reason, I actually really like this movie's portrayal of Yamcha as, like, being from some 90s surfer movie.
it's perfect. I felt like he had some real Kamen Rider energy to his acting.
I might like this version of Yamcha more than the real one.
I know. Because
the real one's like, I just kill people and take their stuff. And this one's like, I have a really clever trap that lets me not have to kill people.
Yep. But then Yamcha just starts baiting him. And then he's like, hey, yeah, you guys should probably pay up now. You know, you need to get out before the sun comes up. And Goku's like, I've had enough of this. I'm going to do a goofy jump at the camera at him. And
it was very funny and goofy.
Of course, I got a picture of that. Why wouldn't I have?
He's about to do the Space Jam stretch.
Yamcha.
that's immediately what I thought of.
Give me the cookie.
Yamcha's like, whoa, fuck that shit. Just points. And of course, I got that picture too. But yeah, Roshi's had enough of this. So he just jumps out and he's like, hey, I'm going to need that ladder. And then they go, hey, the Dragon Ball's underground. We're going to need some excavation tools. And he goes, and I'm going to need that power drill you have to carve through cave walls. And I'm like, whoa.
How convenient.
What the fuck was Yamcha? You wouldn't dig this hole with this. What is this for? So they break down the wall. Yamcha says some stuff. None of it really matters. We cut to some great CGI from Star Wars Episode 2. Then we move on from that point. And,
God, that is just the fucking slave one.
Yes.
Then we move on to one of the funniest, most insane, completely unnecessary scenes in the movie. Piccolo is getting his blood drained out so that way he can make what are basically putties.
Yes.
Yeah. this is because Piccolo can do that, like, originally, of course, but he just spits them out. But I guess in this movie where he's a magic alien, he can't just make them with magic. He has to use the Umbrella Lab.
Yes.
Yeah.
And his super blood.
I can't handle his Kingdom Hearts-esque bodysuit. It's just like, show all the titty.
See, my thought was like, this is a Batman and Robin-esque bodysuit.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. We then cut to the inside of the cave. They're moving further in, and it turns out, oh, there's like a volcano down here, and it's active, and this is the set of Nickelodeon Guts, and it looks terrible. And then
go, Power Ranger!
A volcanic gust of air hits Yamcha, and I really regret freeze-framing that. That looks absolutely rotten.
Yeah, it keeps like the hot jets of steam keep like going off into his balls.
Yeah,
he's like jumping around going, oh no, my balls.
Yeah, no, he just keeps jumping around saying, oh no, my balls. And it's very Idiocracy of him.
This was the scene where I typed in all caps in my notes, oh god, this shit looks like Spy Kids.
Yeah, it's really bad. It's really, really bad. I remembered how bad it looked, but I was like, it looked that bad because it was bad CG, right? And it's like, no, only the lava CG. The rest of it is just styrofoam they cut to form a mountain.
It was, yeah. They had a lot of styrofoam in this movie.
They
this
did.
This is by far the most Power Rangers-esque scene.
Yes, because the putties attack.
Yeah.
Goku needs to fight them, and they're knocking them away, and eventually he knocks one to the lava and is just floating on the lava, and then he starts chopping them up and throwing them into the lava, and he keeps chopping them up, and Roshi's like, what the fuck is your deal? And he's like, I'm making a bridge. And then Roshi's like, nice. I'm like, what? That's unhinged, Roshi. Why are you okay with this? It's okay. They weren't sentient life, I guess, so it's fine. We get a Goku, I believe the term is traipsing across the top, jumping from putty to putty on top of the lava in order to get across. It looks really rough, but it could look worse. It could have been a fully CG Goku. It doesn't seem to be. It seems to be live action Goku. It's CG literally everything else.
God.
It's very funny. He starts scaling a wall, and then they find the Dragon Ball, and it's like, oh, cool. I got the Dragon Ball. He has visions. Cities exploding and fire everywhere and everyone dying in fire and Piccolo making a face. And then an explosion in the desert, a shot of Yamcha flying away, and then the earth exploding, basically. Oh, and then his grandfather just being like, hello. And then Mai shows up and Mai kicks him in the side of the face and he doesn't really care. They just hold this position. It's kind of funny. Then he kicks the shit out of Mai, lodging her in between some rocks. We get some lore. It's not that important.
Holy shit.
We're going to move on. The lore here is not that important. I believe Roshi just goes, yeah, they trapped him in the Mafuban or whatever before, and so we're going to go get that now. Then we cut to a Final Fantasy VII remake skybox with a ledge next to it that the temple is on. They have a Ghostbuster as the head of the temple, so we hurry up inside.
Yes.
He's like shaving dust to make a really cool pattern on the ground, and the door opens with Goku on the other side, and it was Roshi on the other side, and it messes up the dust pattern he was making. And he goes, hey, you need to use the Mafuban. He goes, if you use the Mafuban, it'll kill everyone, or it'll kill you. It'll take all your life energy. And he's like, whatever, life sucks. Let's do it.
I did like that. I liked that. Yes, you could say this plan sucks.
Yeah, it was pretty good. We cut to a martial arts tournament with Chi-Chi in it. This one is like an officiated one. It's real. Not in the middle of a desert on rocks.
Yeah, that was the training for the martial arts tournament, I guess.
I guess. But Mai's here, and Mai is fighting Chi-Chi, and it's like, what's with that? Oh, if only the good guys were here, they could see that this was Mai and she's not to be trusted. And there's this ref who's like, I don't know, giving me Mario vibes, something about his like demeanor. But Mai cuts Chi-Chi on the arm in the middle of the fight and then is leaving the fight. She just forfeits it. And you see, oh, she cut her to get the blood. And now she's going to use the blood for something. Goku shows up. Chi-Chi makes her single strong face throughout the entire film. Maybe it was just when I hit the screen cap button, but I feel like this is her strongest performance in the entire film, this one still frame. And then they run away and everything's happy. Then we get a scene with Bulma and Yamcha that doesn't make a whole lot of sense because they didn't really set up any of this for their characters, but they're like, the world's gonna end and nobody knows except for us. I wish we didn't. Oh, man. That's it. And then they're gonna kiss, and then they don't because there's a butcher nearby and they get scared. Goku starts training. He trains to use spirit energy. He trains to use spirit energy. He watches Roshi use spirit energy. He tries to use spirit energy, but he can't use spirit energy. Chi-Chi shows up, and she's like, if you use your spirit energy, blow out five of these candles, you can step five steps closer and be right next to me. And he's like, oh, okay, well, let me go ahead and use my spirit energy. And then it works once, and then it doesn't work, and then it works again, and then he super makes it work, and he does all of them. And then he kisses her, and he uses his spirit energy to blow out a few of the candles, but most of them are still on, and the movie fades to black as though he blew out all of them.
Yeah, that was really good.
We then cut to Ernie Hudson and a bunch of other monks.
End of movie.
Oh, man, I wish.
I wish.
Movie ends. And then just like the first Death Note live action movie, it plays Danny California. After At the temple, Chi-Chi makes a sound. Bulma wakes up. Oh, it's just Chi-Chi. Then Yamcha shows up and he's like, what are you two up to? And they're like, ha ha, nothing. Nah. And he's like, okay. And then Chi-Chi runs. And then they're like, hey, Goku, what's up? And he's like, ha ha. And they're like, wait, weren't you in your room? And they're like, ha ha ha. And then that wasn't Chi-Chi. It's a fake Chi-Chi. And she starts running away. And she has a gun that makes a firewall. So she makes the firewall. And then the other Chi-Chi's on the other side of the firewall. And they look exactly the same. And they're fighting. And then Goku's like, I'm going to jump through that firewall instead of using my spirit energy to put out the firewall. So the rest of the group gets separated from him and he jumps through and then he starts fighting them and he immediately kicks the real Chi-Chi and then he's like, wait, that's the real Chi-Chi because the cut on her arm. Oh no. And then the evil Chi-Chi shoots him and then the evil Chi-Chi is actually Mai and then she just flies away because they pulled her puppet strings, I guess. I don't know. It didn't physically make any sense, but here's an image of it. And I think it's a...
It was so rough that you had to roll it back so you could take more pictures of it.
Yeah, because I missed it on the first go.
It is so quick.
It is so quick and so amazing. Here's another image. It's really good. She's like blanking, but just levitating, and it's really good. So she escapes.
The Northern Lights.
She escapes. Goku's dead because he got shot by evil Mai's gun. And then Roshi's like, I'm going to bring him back to life. And then we cut to him in the Edward Cullen Twilight Dimension where Grandpa Gohan is. And Gohan says, hey, it's not time yet. What are you doing? And he's like, aw. And then Roshi brings him back to life with the Kamehameha by shoving it into his chest.
God.
He uses the resuscitative properties of the Kamehameha to bring him back to life. Ernie Hudson says, hey, here's this pot. Good luck. Then they take off in a Jeep. Then the movie abruptly becomes a very different looking and feeling movie as they're in Kingdom Hearts desert dimension with rock pillars everywhere as they summon the dragon in this weird dome and everything's green screen from now on. As they begin the ritual, the Dragon Balls start levitating.
Yep.
When the brownie hits. I think I need to make an emote of just that face.
Oh, here. I have a slightly better frame of that. Let me post that too.
Oh, okay.
There we go.
So many fucking edits.
There you go. If you're going to make it that face, you want that one. That's God. The one.
Yes. That certainly is the one. Huh?
They really should not light this suit properly ever.
No.
Oh, God.
No, it looks terrible. They need to bask this in eternal darkness.
Light is not your friend. the cinematographer's just like, let me help this, and like gets a mortar trowel full of Vaseline and spreads it on the lens.
God, that would be great. Yamcha's driving at 180 miles per hour to catch up so they can stop the ritual to summon the dragon. They drive off a ledge. His tires on his Jeep turn horizontal and start shooting jet boosters out of the bottom. Roshi climbs out the window, starts shooting a wave at Kamehameha at Piccolo. Piccolo shoots a wave back. It explodes in midair, which knocks the shit out of everyone in the shrine with Piccolo. And by shrine, I mean like a patio.
The castle from Dead Zone. They're trying.
It knocks Roshi off the vehicle and he falls to the ground and it's really bad. And the vehicle starts spinning out of control and it's really bad. And then Goku appears and he has the outfit on and it's really bad. And everything's really
Goku
smoky.
Says, I'm here to kill chaos.
And that's it. We get some really, really bad green screen shots of Piccolo edited onto a cliff. You should not have included this in the film. You could have had Goku staring off camera as Piccolo said this stuff, and you should not. This looks channel awesome. I'm sorry, but that is really, really rough.
I'm sorry, Dan. 75 minutes. It has to hit it.
I'm just saying, use multiple shots of Goku just looking off screen and dub it in.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for that emote.
Yeah.
And then Piccolo's like, yeah, you know what? I'm tired of you, Goku. This is ridiculous. I can't believe you're doing all this. And he's like, I'm going to stop you and Ozaru, the demon. And Piccolo goes, Goku, you are Ozaru. And then Goku goes, no.
And then you would not stop pressing the button.
Yes, that's correct. I needed all these images for reaction images on Twitter.
when you kiss your cat.
And then he gets a flashback, a vision of, oh yeah, I am Ozaru, and as a baby I had demon eyes and it was really bad and it was not great, and then the really, really unbelievably rough CGI begins. This is nightmarish. His face starts transforming into Ozaru.
Monkey. God.
He's returning
me
to monkey.
Soul and strive.
Oh.
And so he transforms into Ozaru, which is like in this a giant fucking werewolf. It's basically how it looks.
It looks vaguely ape-like. They tried a little.
Sort of. I don't.
He's like maybe twice like the size of a normal person, so he's not like Ozaru size or anything.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it is. It looks like a bat.
Yeah. I would take that as a demon bat before what it actually is.
See, my brain just translated, okay, this is a really bad version, CG version of Ozaru that just got scaled down.
Yeah. So Goku the Ozaru starts chasing Bulma and Yamcha. They run into a cave. Bulma gives Yamcha her gun so that way he can fight off Goku. Goku just breaks down the wall like Kool-Aid Man. Bulma keeps running through the cave. Mai starts finding her. Roshi starts using the Mafubon, which looks absolutely hilarious.
And okay, it looks exactly, and I watched this recently, so that was the first thing I thought of. The tornado in a can from Mystery Men.
Yes.
It's just that.
Yeah.
You're
absolutely right.
Well, in Mystery Men KZ, they get like a non-lethal, they go to like a non-lethal science guy who only makes non-lethal weapons. And one of them is a tornado in a can that makes a really bad looking CG tornado that just like spins people around. And it looks exactly like the Mafuba except green.
My favorite part isn't even how it looks, it's how it sounds, because they got Piccolo's actor to go, whoa, 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 the whole time he's trapped in the Mafuban. I'm like, this
Piccolo's
is like...
Piccolo's actor, James Marsden, who was Spike in Buffy.
I'm like, this is a minute and a half of him going, whoa, whoa, whoa. Someone signed off on that.
Yeah.
Look, Dan. It's on the fucking whiteboard in the production office. Goal, 75 minutes.
So Roshi gets interrupted by Goku the Ozaru, slamming him to the ground and starts choking him. And Roshi's like, hey, you're not going to defeat Ozaru with this. You must defeat him with faith. And then they do a close-up shot of Ozaru's face as he thinks. And it's bad. And then we get another CG shot of Goku crying, and it's bad. And then Ozaru is just like, oh no, what have I done? And then he screams and he untransforms as he thinks about all of his loved ones and Roshi being dead. And then the first thing he does when he comes out of that is he starts smack-talking Piccolo. And I'm like, you know, Roshi just died. maybe a line there about how he's a monster for killing Roshi. No. So they start having a battle immediately. It looks like shit. Then Mai and Bulma continue their battle. Goku and Piccolo do the fight scene from the end of the third Matrix film where they're just holding each other and floating upward.
Yes, it looks so bad.
Yeah. It was really funny to watch that, right? Matrix Revolutions back in the day. And just go, that looks like a DBZ fight that's terrible. And then watching this and going, this looks like an even worse version of that,
right? Like, how do you not get it to this level?
it's money. It's just they didn't have any money.
So they do some cool stuff. They keep doing cool stuff, and by cool stuff, I mean patting each other on the ribs and stuff, and calling it punches. And then they do a powerful hit against each other, get knocked back. Both of them hit walls. Bulma goes, hey, I'll give you the Dragon Ball, Mai. I don't want to die for this. Tosses her motorcycle, which was a condensed ball, up into the air, hits a button, and it deploys. but then it hits the rock wall and explodes and knocks Mai off of her ass, and it's very cool.
I really the concept of using it as a grenade.
It explodes behind her, but that doesn't knock Mai on her ass. Yamcha showing up and doing an abrupt spirit wave, which I guess is the thing he could do.
No, he shot her. Yeah, the gun that Bulma gave her.
Yeah, the gun shoots the smoke as well.
It had the same energy, orange energy thing as all of the ki that isn't Goku's.
Right. But no, Yamcha can't fight in this for some reason.
Yeah, I don't know what's up with that.
They only had one, they only had like one effects package.
That's true, because even when Mai used a gun, it had ki in it.
Yeah, it's real rough. Piccolo is just floored that Goku's still alive and kind of kicking his ass, and he's like, what's the deal with this? And then we cut to Goku's face doing this. I don't even remember words here. I just remember this face. And then, this is when he says, in order to be one, I must be two.
God, why?
And then Piccolo floats up with his evil energy, and Goku now has an insane amount of blue energy, and they do a beam battle. And in the middle of the beam battle, like almost immediately, Goku's plan is, I'm going to leap at him as I beam battle. So he flies up shooting this blue beam, and there's an explosion. It's very cool. And Piccolo eats shit. He's lying on the ground, and Goku lands gracefully, and he's fine. And Roshi's dead, and they're sad. And they're like, let's use the Dragon Balls to bring Roshi back. So they do that. And that's the end.
Shenlong looks really bad.
Shenlong looks so bad, Tosh was furious. She's like, that is a really terrible dragon. Goku makes his face, and then we're basically done with the film. Oh, and then they're like, well, I guess we're going to have to find all the Dragon Balls again. And then it cuts to Chi-Chi at the temple, and Goku walks in wearing a completely different outfit. And he's like, hey, what's up, Kiss Smooch? Oh, I was worried about you. Anyway, I let you win that fight because I didn't think you were going to hit me because I'm the real Chi-Chi. And he's like, oh, well, I went really hard and I apologize. And she's like, look, I let you hit me. And he's like, okay, well, guess we're going to have to figure out who's the best. And she's like, look, if this relationship's going to work, we're going to have to beat the shit out of each other. And so it cuts to them in that tournament ring. And then they fly at each other. And it's a really, 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 really bad freeze frame. Like bullet time cam. As Goku flies in fist first. And Chi-Chi does her flying kick.
God.
Looks great.
God.
And that's the end of the movie. We get a little bit of credits, and then it cuts to what I assume is Mai. I don't know.
No, it's just some random woman.
That is,
yeah, I'm
no,
so confused.
That is the woman. No. It is the woman that you thought Mai shot at the start of the movie.
Are you sure? It looked like her, but I was like, there's no way.
It is supposed to be her. It's supposed to be, because they're trying, the whole movie, they're trying to do some weird, like, Piccolo isn't actually evil. He's just butthurt that he was sealed for 2,000 years.
Yeah, so anyway,
this is their attempt to try and rehabilitate him into, like, an anti-hero for the sequel.
We show a whole minute of her preparing a towel and medicine in order to heal someone, walks all the way down a hallway, comes into a room where someone's under the blankets. They bring the camera up, and it's just Piccolo under the blankets, and she dabs his head, and he has a look of, like, And that's it. That's the actual end of the movie. Our sequel tweet tease is Piccolo's being healed.
Yeah, I was I was shocked as it was starting to go. I was like, no.
Man, he's really tucked in hard.
Yes. I know. That's the funniest part of this.
It's so funny because the covers are so far over him. It looks like they're in a bubble or something.
They clearly just tried way too hard to get it to obscure him until the last moment, because it's supposed to be a cool reveal, and it's like, it's not a cool reveal.
It's very funny, though.
It should have been Frieza in the bet.
What do you mean? What do you mean Ron Perlman was originally offered the role of Piccolo?
Yeah, he was. They also offered like 18 different people the chance to direct, including fucking Zack Snyder.
God. Oh, my God.
They offered Robert Rodriguez. They offered, Stephen Chow, Robert Rodriguez, Mark A.Z. Dip, who did the Garfield direct fucking Garfield straight to DVD movies and Spawn and then Zack Snyder. And then eventually they're like, you're our eighth choice.
Yeah, the
James Wong.
Yeah, the actor for Piccolo said he had every intention of fulfilling the arc of Piccolo in live action through sequels, including his reincarnation and redemption, where he would fuse with Piccolo Jr. But unfortunately it just didn't happen.
I like that James Marsden was like, yeah, this movie cost $100 million. And then later, some Spanish news outlet said it was $50 million. And then later, Marsden was like, yeah, it was $30
million. Oh, my God.
I was like, yeah, no shit. It wasn't $100 million. Look at the screen.
And then James Marsden was like, I want to be in something that Dragon Ball related that's actually good. And then he became the dub voice of Zamasu.
Oh, that's cool.
That's pretty neat.
Good for him.
He got the accolades of this film on Wikipedia. Say it was nominated for a 2009 Spike TV Scream Award for Best Comic Book Movie. It lost to Watchmen.
Of course.
So, like, we need four movies for this category, right?
So that's the movie we watched.
Oops.
Yeah. KZ, do you want to take back over your show?
I'm just trying to gather my energies, okay? Let me breathe. All right, everybody. Now that we've gone through that, thank you so much, Dan, for adding, let's see, 90 images to one channel. Now that we have that done, we got to move on to our segments. First one would be the Yamcha Award, the biggest disappointment in the film that we watched. Feel, what do you got?
Chi-Chi.
Why?
Because she gets cucked out of fighting, like, the evil martial artist, so the character who isn't a fighter can fight them. Because Hollywood checklist, the person writing this literally went down a list.
Okay. Bob.
Goku, because he sucks. He's, like, the worst part of this movie. He makes good faces, but, oh, man, everything involves acting or having a character is really bad.
Bob, as I explained in the middle of the movie, acting is when not all of your words come out easily, and this implies that you're thinking or feeling and that you didn't memorize the sentence before they hit the record button.
God.
Dan.
The producers, this is not nearly enough money. What the fuck? I think they could have gotten Ron Perlman if they threw enough money at any of the problems.
No, never.
Grandpa Gohan, he ate a bug and that was gross.
How's that make of a disappointment? He took that like a champ. I thought that whole sequence was going to end him being like, oh, Goku outsmarted me by making me swallow a bug. Instead, he's like, you idiot, I eat bugs for breakfast.
Right?
You eat bugs for breakfast?
That dude just kept trucking. It was impressive. It's like, what is the scene?
It's okay. It was a CG bug.
Oh, okay. So they're like light and crispy.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
This is the most deranged it's going to get.
Uh-huh.
We're going to start with Dan. And I'm going to need you to tell me which of these live-action movie characters can defeat the animated character Jiren from Dragon Ball Super.
I think Goku in this could defeat him. Because he's full of all sorts of zany ideas and buffoonery. I don't think Jiren's ready for that.
Reasonable. Feel.
Piccolo, I guess, because his powers are really poorly defined, so who knows what he could be capable of.
God, you have a point. He's real strong. He made putties out of his blood.
For a 30-second scene, what the fuck is wrong with this movie?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I have no idea.
Because otherwise, there would be literally no other fights against the antagonist except for the end and things with Mai. They're like, we need something.
They could have like made one big guy instead of like putties that are dispatched effortlessly.
In a scene that's too dark to see anything.
And the way they cut it to make sure that you never see them full body for more than one frame.
Because I should go through the production company's previous movies and be like, what costume was that actually that they couldn't show us in whole? What costume did they steal from a previous movie?
I think the least shocking thing was seeing that Mai was just portrayed by a female Shredder in the TMNT live action movies.
Oh, hey, look, Alien vs. Predator Requiem was one of the movies that the production company made.
Yeah, of course. It looks the same, but okay. That had more money, obviously.
Yeah, that definitely had more money.
In Predator suits. They didn't show us because they were just Predator suits.
No. Yamcha. I'll say Yamcha can do it.
Do you have a single fact to back that up?
Who knows if he was really using a gun there? Maybe he does have the power of orange smoke. Bop.
I'm going to say Roshi. He's his Mafudo or whatever that thing
Mafuba.
Is. Mafuba. Yeah, just get him right in there.
I'm shocked they even knew the name of that one.
Yeah. The writer went across a wiki. Like, nothing has been more obvious, and he's just like, okay, what's things from Dragon
yeah,
Ball?
Yeah, but, like, Mafuba sounds at all accurate in this film, but they said Gohan.
I know.
That's the part that gets me more so than right. It being here. They probably looked at that, and they're like, how the fuck do I say this? Meanwhile, Gohan, they were like, Gohan.
Piccolo.
I like the part where Roshi describes the Kamehameha as being the spirit bomb. That's a good moment.
Yes, only Goku can make that thing blue. I really like the delivery of that last Kamehameha. It's really good. Where he just starts going Green Goblin, going, Hammer!
Finish it!
We all went, right?
You know,
I'm not crazy,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. You know, the climax of this movie is another thing Toriyama stole. Because once in Super, he started having Goku shoot a beam and then pointlessly fly up through the beam to punch someone.
Oh, that's very smart.
He does that against Hit.
Yeah, I'm unsure if it's stealing or they're just trying to come up with new ways to show a fight.
I'm going with feel.
We know he saw this movie since he said, I'm bringing back Dragon Ball because I refuse to let this be the last Dragon Ball thing.
That's fair.
Yeah.
That's fair. I'm looking at these still images.
Yeah. I don't know if we can trust you, Dan. You say every video game composer steals every song, so.
That's not true. Not everyone does.
Our last segment is we need to pit a Dragon Ball show's a villain or a character or anything, I guess, against the villain of this film, which is live action Piccolo.
I was like, are we sure? Are you sure it's not Putties?
No, it's got to be live action Piccolo. Who can beat him, Bob?
Or maybe Mai. Mai seems like the main antagonist most of this movie.
Yes, but we're going to have to pick Piccolo.
Okay. I'm going to say Nom. Nom okay. Can probably handle this.
Yeah, he's got that cool thing where he makes the X with his hands or whatever and then falls down from 100 feet in the air.
Yeah, I don't think that Piccolo can handle that.
Okay. Dan, you can go next.
So I actually disagree on who the villain is. Clearly the villain is his blood is evil, because when he took some of his blood out and got knocked on his ass, he seemed like he was coming to a little bit. So in Dragon Ball, we have many shots of hospitals. I'm pretty sure one of those is a dialysis machine. I think that could beat him.
Okay. you're not changing the rules of my own thing. You'd be like, no, I've changed who your villain is on my answer.
I think it's clear that we've honed in that his evil blood he made the putties from were the real problem.
All right, Dan, I'll let you choose dialysis machine, but Phil will not be allowed to circumvent like a snake my segment. He's next.
Let's be real. Anyone in Dragon Ball can beat this dumbass. I need an inventive answer.
Yes.
I'm going to say Bulma from the very start of Dragon Ball when she whips out a gun.
Exactly! Right?
Did you try shooting him in the face?
A real gun, not a gun that shoots colored wind.
I'm going to say the wolf from Legacy of Goku can definitely beat this guy.
I mean, that thing's strong.
That dude could sweep most of these villains on this show.
That's true.
You're right. We really just need like low tier people to go up against him. So that's why I'm going to go similar to Bob and pick Bacterian from that exact same tournament. The guy known for just shitting his pants.
Okay.
The guy
whose power is he has never bathed.
Yes. And Krillin almost lost until Goku reminded him that he doesn't have a nose. So of course he couldn't smell any of it.
Yeah.
It was pretty good. I was between that and Jackie Chun, but this dude does not deserve Jackie Chun.
No.
No.
No, Jackie Chun's way too strong for this Piccolo.
God. Well, we've gone through all three required segments. It's time for the best part of this show, where we review and rate what we watched. This is our 23rd episode, our 23rd review. Our scale goes from 0 to 7. And we've had some zeros, and we've had stuff that's pretty high up. So we'll see how this shakes out. We'll be starting with Bob. Give me your review and score.
You know, this movie always baffled me on a lot of levels. Like, Z is a popular thing in the Western audience. Yeah. Why didn't you do a live action movie of Z?
Yeah, I don't get that.
Like, what were you thinking with this on any level?
You could have done the same high school thing, but it's like, oh, two aliens showed up.
Right. You could, it would just make more sense in every way. You're getting older actors. I don't get it.
Yeah.
This is really bad in a lot of ways.
Very funny, though.
It does have some funny moments. I'm going to give it a 2. I feel like it's my lowest 2, because I don't like it as much as Bio Brawly or Tree of Might, but I like it more than Bardock, Faucet of Goku.
Okay.
And Wrath of the Dragon.
Well, that's sure to upset some people.
Yes.
I'm sorry. Wrath of the Dragon fucking blows.
It really does.
I'll take this Piccolo fucking Ivan Ooze-Man over fucking Harutagarn. Dan, go next.
How did I end up going second twice?
Oh, I'm sorry. Phil, go next.
Okay. 1.
Okay.
Like, this has brief moments, but most of this is just so fucking boring. And it's frustration because, like, they didn't make a bad Dragon Ball movie. They don't know what they made. It's like, yeah, you had $30 million. You could have been like, we can't have big special effects. We'll put in actors who can do even a remotely plausible looking martial arts fight.
Yeah, stunt actors aren't that expensive.
You could have
like this has worse choreography than any Power Rangers show.
You could have just not done this story. And instead just did the first tournament instead, where there is very little special effects needed.
This couldn't hold up to the Flash on the CW.
No, it couldn't. I can't believe it.
Like, I would rather watch this than anything in our in the black and red zone.
Oh, yeah.
But it's not above anything outside of that. For me, anyway.
All
right, well, we'll go to Dan.
I'm going to give this a 3. It's just barely under the middle of the road of the full scale we've been using this whole time. I think it is enjoyable. I think it has faces that the main character makes nonstop that are funny. But the actual film itself looks like shit, has a terrible plot, and many characters are just left on the floor with quite a few scenes that I feel like come out of nowhere, like character-wise. But yeah, I don't think it's anywhere near the worst thing we've watched in the series.
We have watched some real stinkers.
Yeah, Bio Broly's right up there. But yeah, so I'm going to give it a 3. Maybe if it was a little bit more put together, maybe if the ending didn't happen in the really, 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 really bad green screen dimension, then, you know, maybe it would hit a 4, but... Yeah, I'm feeling confident on a 3. I'm feeling confident on a 3.
This is tough. I'm looking at my scores and going, it's better than that? No. Because at first, I was thinking, is this going to get an ironic high score? Because I had a very good time watching this.
Yeah.
However, it was really bad. It was like,
yeah, I watched this alone, which is probably why I gave it a 1.
Dude, you don't understand. Anytime a boring scene happens... Goku's emoting, and I'm hearing the jingle of Dan just getting screenshot, which is making me excited.
Every frame of this man's face is gold.
Yes.
He could run entire Twitter accounts for decades with nothing but pictures of this man's face.
Uh-huh. So my experience would definitely have been lower if I hadn't moved and I was just watching this alone. Desperately thinking about, should I tab out? And thinking about that and how bad it is. What else I've ranked? I gotta give it a 1. I gotta go for it. I can't even give it a 2. It is up there with other things I've given a 1, like Return of Cooler, Sleeping Princess, Bio Broly, Wrath of the Dragon.
See, and that's the thing for me. I gave it a 3, and I would say this is approximate to BoJack Unbound and Curse of the Blood Rupee.
Hey, really? The dude looks like BoJack.
BoJack's way cooler looking than anyone is.
Right?
And that's so sad. Jesus.
Oh, God. Where the fuck does this place? What's a 7 put it at?
you're the host. You should have to be the one who does this.
No, you should do this because you're my dad.
I'm gonna break your legs if you say that again.
Okay, a 7 would put it there. Okay, so it would put it between Tree of Might and Bardock. Okay. This could be worse. this could be a lot worse. Alright. We just slowly move things around.
This is our biggest movie to movie drop.
Oh my god, he's right.
God.
It's 18 points, so it beats going from BoJack Unbound to Planet Hurricane.
Oh my fucking god, it dropped 18 fucking points. Unfortunately, it's because we saw what is current. Oh my, yeah, we scored that one so high that we...
Yep.
Yeah.
That was a fun time.
Give the breathing room to die.
That had a really good idea of what a Dragon Ball movie should be. This clearly didn't.
Bob, how do you feel about the fact that despite this being a 7, it's still the second best thing we've watched in the past 6 episodes?
I'm not surprised. There were some really rough things.
As it turns out, Bob's been here.
Yeah, it's the best thing we've seen since Fusion Reborn. All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for us to go into the current rankings for Mondo Cool. We are 23 episodes in, so starting with the very bottom with a 0, Dragon Ball GT, A Hero's Legacy. The worst thing we've ever seen.
The worst. Not even on the show! Yeah.
The worst thing we've ever seen. The thing that was also the worst thing we've ever seen, but we decided to say that it's a little better just by virtue of it being in a different brand. Dragon Ball Path to Power.
I can't get over the worst.
The worst thing we've ever seen. As Field described it, coming in at number 21, the most pathetic thing he's ever seen, Plan to Eradicate the Saiyans, the OVA that worked for a video game.
That's pretty rough.
Then we got number 20, Bio Broly. Number 19, Return of Cooler. Number 18, History of Trunks. Then we get out of the section that's colored black and red like we're in hell. To move on to 17, Wrath of the Dragon. 16, Bardock, Father of Goku. Number 15, Dragon Ball Evolution, what we just saw. So just as you know, it beat everything before that.
Yeah, there are 14 other better films in Dragon Ball.
It made it through a third of the movies, yes.
Just think about that real quick, okay? There are 14 better Dragon Ball films.
God.
No shit, this movie bombed.
Like, it's like, how did Dragon Ball Evolution do? Well, it did better than something that we consider the worst thing we've ever seen in our lives.
Michael.
Which we saw 2 weeks ago or something. Whenever that fucking happened. Number 14, Tree of Might. 13, Sleeping Princess and Devil's Castle. Number 12, Broly Second Coming. Now we're going to, like, the top half. That's where the good stuff's at. Like, number 11, Curse of the Blood Rubies. Then number 10, Broly the Legendary Super Saiyan. Then number 9, Mystical Adventure. Number 8, World's Strongest. Number 7, BoJack Unbound. Number 6, Cooler's Revenge. And then our top 5 of Fusion Reborn, Lord Slug, Super Android 13, Dead Zone, and what we launched last time, Yo, Son Goku and His Friends Return, that got a 25 out of 28.
That was a really good time.
It was a delightful time. We had a massive drop here, but hey, I'm glad we didn't get something under a 5. That happens too often.
Yes.
Yeah,
we've had that happen 5 times.
I mean, if you count 6 and below, Jesus Christ. Oh, let's, yeah. Let me see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 times. 8. 8 times.
I remember when we watched Mystical Adventure, which is currently our, like, number 9, it feels like, this is fucking awful. And yep. and then we truly started digging.
Yeah.
Well, I'm so proud of us for making it to a legendary piece of media. One of the main appeals of Mondo Cool would be, hey, it's a reason for us to watch Dragon Ball Evolution and rank it against some of these. I was hoping it would do better, but no, it's actually pretty bad.
I think it did pretty good for a movie I remember for 13 years straight, had the worst looking special effects until I saw Street Fighter, The Legend of Chun-Li.
Yeah.
Isn't that also Fox?
It's...
Oh, God. Oh, God.
Find out.
Turns out... No, I don't think it's Fox. Let me look right now, because I've been on that fucking page.
It has that
energy. It's distributed by 20th Century Fox.
Yeah, okay.
That had less than half as much money. That is how much worse that film looked.
Yeah.
Like, I should have known this would be that bad when, like, a lot of video game movies, very bad. I know things about them, even if I haven't watched them, because there are things that stick in people's brains after they watch them and they make jokes about them. I didn't know shit about Dragon Ball Evolution. I never even saw people post him next to Jamie Kennedy mask.
Yeah, I think Street Fighter The Legend of Chun-Li would probably double the score of this. Bob, how do you feel?
No, that movie is more boring.
That would stun me.
There are any things that stick in my head from that movie? Nothing. Nothing other than how the special effects look stuck in my head ever from this.
There's only one moment in that entire movie that sticks in my head, and that's the only thing that happens in that movie. Every fight scene is worse than the worst one in this.
Well, that movie has Michael Clark Duncan, which is insane. I don't know how they got that talent for any character in that. Yeah, yeah.
He has like one scene or something.
But they have Nash out, and that man's hamming it up as much as Goku is in this. Which is pretty incredible.
God.
And then the one scene. That one scene makes it a better movie.
Well, if we count everything released, we only have 6 episodes of the show left.
Wow.
Which means next time in episode 24 of Mondo Cool, something's going to happen, which will involve Bob's going to read something Phil wrote that sets up our next episode. Hopefully it's a good thing.
It's time for the story so nice, we told it twice. Except this time it's shorter, and instead of adapting a game, it's given away free with a game. Yes, we meant all of Dragon Ball. Next time on Mondo Cool, plan to eradicate the Super Saiyans.